26. Jaina's comm registered a hail, not on the battle frequencies. She switched over.
There you are, a voice on the other end said.
Yes, Jaina replied. Thanks for the assist just now, but if you don't mind my asking, who in the galaxy is this?
My name is Early Prawn, he replied. I'm in charge of this battle station.
You realize you're in Yuuzhan Vong held space, and you have been for a long time.
Yes, it's a long story. What's going on out there?
Just what it looks like. We're retaking Bilbringi, but things haven't gone exactly according to plan, and the general sent me out to see if this station is still operational. Looks like it is.
It's in pretty good shape, Prawn said proudly. We'd be glad to be of any assistance we can. If you want to come aboard, I'll show you what we've got.
That's great, Jaina said. Just assign me a berth.
What about the rest of your pilots?
There are still Vong out there. I expect they'll be headed this way after that display you just put on. I think I'll keep them out there to help with the defense.
Copy, Prawn said. Come on in. Berth 7. You'll see the beacon.
Jaina slipped her X-Wing into the docking bay without a mishap. She waited as the doors closed and the area outside was pressurized, then unsealed her cockpit and stepped out onto the deck. The bay was massive, but her ship was the only one she saw. It looked a little lonely in all that space. On the far end, she noticed a lot of carbon scoring on the walls, as if there had been an explosion of fire.
Welcome aboard!
Jaina looked over to see her reception committee, two humans and a Rodian, all wearing the uniform of the old Bilbringi Defense Force. Dark blue slacks and military-style blue jackets over gold-colored shirts. The male human, a fellow she guessed to be about as old as her father, with hair that might have once been red but had faded to auburn and silver, came forward with his hand out.
I'm Lieutenant Prawn, he said as he shook her hand. We spoke a moment ago. These are my associates, Zam Ganol and Hixri Jith.
Ganol was the other human, an older, wiry woman with gray hair and a crooked nose. Jith was the Rodian. Both shook her hand. Prawn flashed her a big smile.
I really can't say how glad we are to see you, he glanced at her insignia. Colonel
Solo, she replied.
Solo? Not the one from the Hollows. Jaina Solo?
Afraid so, she replied. And I hate to be rude, but could we cut straight to the situation? I need to assess this station and report to General Antilles as soon as possible.
Of course, Prawn said. It's just such a surprise and such an honor. If you'll follow me, please.
If you don't mind me asking, Lieutenant Prawn, what in blazes are you people doing here?
He uttered a short chuckle. I suppose that does require a little explanation, doesn't it? We were part of a crew set out here to overhaul the station.
He paused as the turbo lift came and they stepped into it.
You might have noticed it's way out here.
Yes, Jaina said. I was wondering about that.
In fact, we didn't know it was here for years. It was cloaked, you see.
Cloaked?
Yep. The theory is that Grand Admiral Thrawn cloaked it for some reason, back when he cloaked all of those asteroids to blockade Coruscant. It showed up missing in the later inventory, but nobody could find it. When a Yuuzhan Vong invasion looked imminent, however, we wanted every advantage we could get, of course. One of the brass guessed it might be cloaked and sent us out here with an old crystal grav trap to find it. As you can see, we did, but, our bad luck, the invasion started while we were out here. We had taken the cloak down, but didn't have the shields working. A flight of skips came out here and pretty much fried our transport. You may have noticed the damage to the docking bay.
Jaina nodded. The lift opened, and Prawn gestured for her to step out into the fire control area, where several other sentients waited. Two more humans, a Twi'lek, a Barabel, and a Toydarian. Over banks of controls, through a broad viewport, she could see the distant battle as a series of tiny winking lights. The seeming smallness of it didn't fool her. A lot of people were dying back there. It made her itchy to be so far away.
Anyway, Prawn went on, we managed to get one of the turbo lasers online and the shields up. We gunned down the skips and put the cloak back on. It was the only thing we could think of to do. There was a whole fleet out there. The Vong apparently thought we'd gone to hyperspace. Seems they don't know Golons don't usually come equipped for that.
But that was more than a year ago, Jaina said.
You're telling me. We've just been waiting, tinkering with the station. Everything works fine by now, at least those things we had the parts to fix. This thing has a terrific power core. Had to run the shield for so long. We floated a small probe out on an insulated cable so we could see what was going on, which, as you've probably guessed, wasn't much that was helpful to our situation. Just the Vong, setting up shop. His grin broadened. This morning, though, we swept and saw your fleet. We dropped the field hoping you would spot us. We've got limited sublight communications, but no hyperwave or holonet. He grinned again. And here you are. It was about then that Jaina understood something was wrong. The feeling in the Force that she took as relief at the end of a long, dangerous isolation was there, but seething beneath it was something hungry. She was reaching for her lightsaber when something hit her hard. Her hand, midway to her weapon, suddenly refused to obey her commands, and the room spun dizzily. She tried to focus and use the Force, but the dizziness got worse, and she was vaguely aware that her legs weren't holding her up anymore. She didn't feel the deck when she hit it, but she had a strange view of boots and legs moving her way. She heard faraway sounds that resembled thunder, but which she understood to be speech. Then she woke, strapped down to a table with some sort of webbing, her head pounding, and everything still doing a slow spin. Sorry about that, she heard Pran say. Sonics leave you with a terrible hangover without the benefit of ever having the fun. He was standing a meter away. The Toydarian stood across the room with a blaster trained on her. I hear Toydarians are more resistant than most species to Jedi mind tricks, Pran said. I hope we don't have to test that. I'd like to see all of us walk out of this healthy.
Pran, what's going on? She managed. Who are you really?
Oh, that name's as good as any.
What are you, Peace Brigade?
His eyebrows squinted together. Colonel Solo, he said, now you're hurting my feelings. That pathetic bunch of collaborationists? Hardly. I'm a liberator.
Of what?
Technology, actually.
Ah, Jaina said, you're a thief and a smuggler.
Pran shrugged his shoulders. What I do is more like emergency salvage. I haven't taken anything the Vong wouldn't have destroyed anyway. Remember Duro? We got some good stuff there in hit-and-run raids after New Republic forces pulled out. If we hadn't, it would have been wasted. The Vong sure weren't going to use it.
Her head was starting to clear. So you came here after the Vong took Vilbringi?
Nope, this job was a little different. Most of my story was true, except that it was Vel here who discovered the missing station in the shipyard databanks. I'd heard a story that one of the Golons disappeared right before the New Republic forces invaded. A few of us got jobs in the shipyards, and Vel managed to slice into the old Imperial records. He beamed. One of the best slicers in the business.
Ah, just average, the Toydarian replied. He didn't take his gaze off Jaina.
He's very modest, Pran added. Anyhow, he found an old encryption that suggested the station had been cloaked. Apparently, Thrawn was keeping it in reserve as a little surprise, but when Thrawn died, the station was lost because he obviously didn't share the information with his command structure. We were able to reckon a general sector and calculate for drift, and then we sort of, borrowed a crystal grav trap detector from the Vilbringi dry docks to find it. After that, the story is more or less the one I already told you.
So what do you want with me? Jaina asked. Why did you stun me?
Well, frankly, Colonel Solo, I don't want anything from you, especially trouble, but I need to borrow some parts from your X-Wing.
You can't all escape in a single X-Wing.
No, we can't. We're going to escape in the station itself.
Come again, Jaina said. I thought you said it isn't equipped with hyperdrive.
No, I said Golons aren't usually equipped with hyperdrive. This one wasn't either. But how do you think we were planning on salvaging a space station without the Vilbringi authorities noticing?
You brought your own drive, Jaina realized.
Yes. We almost had it installed when the Vong showed up and torched our transport. Unfortunately, the motivator was still on the transport. No motivator, no hyperdrive.
He held his palms out.
So, we've been waiting.
You can't use an X-Wing motivator to jump a station this size, Jaina pointed out.
No, but we can cobble one together from 7.
Jaina jerked at the webbing. Leave my squadron alone.
Hey, calm down, Pran said. They're all okay. We hit them with ion beams, hauled them in with tractor beams, and stunned them with sonics. And that wasn't easy, not with the Wookiee and that crazy Twi'lek. Look, I'm not trying to make any enemies here.
Jaina could only stare at him in the face of such an absurd statement.
We were hoping you would all dock, he continued, and make the whole thing easier. But we've been working out contingencies for a while now.
not a lot else to do here, you know? Look, Prawn, Jaina said. General Antilles needs this battle station. Prawn laughed.
I'm sorry, Colonel, but we've all invested a little too much in this baby to just hand it over to be destroyed. Do you know how much I can get for the cloaker alone? No, forget it. In a few hours, we'll be ready to jump. Meanwhile, we put the cloak back on.
And what about me?
You're a bit of a problem. I know enough about you to know that the longer I keep you around, the better the chance you'll be able to use those Jedi powers of yours to... Well, I don't know, do I? And that's the problem. On the other hand, I don't want to kill Han Solo's daughter. I mean, I respect the guy, and I know he's already been through a lot.
You're just afraid he would hunt you down and kill you, Jaina said.
Yeah, that too. Look, I'm a businessman. This is business. Once we've got the hyperdrive working and jump out of here, we'll put you all off someplace safe. With your starfighters, okay?
No, Jaina said, not okay. Who are you going to sell your cloaker to, Prawn? The Vong? Because they're going to be the only ones around to buy it if you don't help us here.
That's a little dramatic, don't you think?
Prawn said.
I mean, there's still plenty of market for this sort of thing in the corporate sector. Heck, in lots of places. A small planetary government is what I'm looking for. One afraid they'll soon need negotiating power. If this battle here goes sour, it'll only make the market that much better.
Until there is no market, Jaina snapped. Until the Vong have everything, because hut-oads like you are still trying to make a profit rather than doing what they can to help us win.
Prawn's smile vanished.
We sat out here for a year surrounded by Vong, he said angrily, in constant fear that they would find us. Sure, they can't see us when we have the cloak on, but we can't see them either. Every single time we pushed out the probe, we all got the shakes. And who knew what the Vong have that might detect us at any second?
Do you know what it's like to be surrounded by that kind of pressure every day for a year and not be able to do a single thing about it? His face was getting redder and his voice was rising.
After what we've been through, sister, you can keep your platitudes. I'm taking this station. I'm selling it, and I'm going to take my share and retire to some little backwater so far away the Vong won't reach it in my lifetime and sip cool drinks on a hot beach.
There's no place that far away, Jaina said.
I'm willing to look,
Prawn replied. Jaina focused the force on the Toydarian. He's crazy, she told the Toydarian. Stun him and help me out of this. The Toydarian blinked, looked briefly confused, and then laughed.
Prawn smiled too, his tirade apparently over.
So it's true then, good. Now if you'll excuse me, I'm going to help get those motivators coupled together. Vel, I've changed my mind. Take her to fire control and watch her there. I can't spare you just to be a guard during this. Just keep an eye on things and don't let her talk to anyone.
I want to see my pilots, Jaina said.
After we've made the jump, Prawn told her, not before.
With that, he left the room.